Hey, rolling into hour number two of Gwen and Chris. Finally, a Friday out there. Hope everybody has a great weekend lined up. Started off with some Padre baseball. Right here on 97.3 The Fan pregame show with yours truly tonight sitting in for Sam Levitt. You know, the fans who listen to Padre baseball, Adam Klug, especially those who listen to the pregame show, are going to terribly miss Sam Levitt tonight. I mean, they have just fallen in love with this guy. He is a hero to Padre fans. They cheer his name at Petco Park. He can't go anywhere without having to pose for pictures, sign autographs. The guy can hardly do his job. He's so well revered. But
where Sam Levitt goes,
the champagne flows. That's right. He said that at the beginning of last season. And we've kind of forgotten about it because there was no champagne flowing last season.
Speak for yourself when you say we've forgotten about it.
Oh, you
I think about it every day.
You have you obviously hadn't forgot about it. You brought it up, yeah. But Sam will be off tonight, so I'll be doing the pregame show, and it's going to be like old times because that's been a while. But we'll get it done, and it'll be a little after 4:30, and then at a little after 5:30, Cal Quantrill, the former Padre draft selection. We'll throw the first pitch of tonight's game to Luis Arraez, and the Padres and Rockies will begin their three-game series. The Padres, of course, begin play today. Really an almost unimaginable two games out of first place. That's it. Two games back of the Dodgers. The playoff odds for the Padres right now to reach the postseason, 95.5%. Even the Brewers only have a 95.8%, and they have a 9-game lead in their division. I don't know how they figure all this out. And as Tony said the other day, if the Padres lost two or three games in a row, those odds would go down to 85% just like that. But as it stands right now, 95.5 for the Padres to go to the postseason. Of course, they're in the middle of a wonderful pennant race for the division. The Dodgers on top, Padres, and the equally red-hot Diamondbacks are both two games back. All three teams, by the way, have played the exact same number of games. 122 games played, 40 to go. I say that because almost all year the Padres have played more games than everybody. So remember, they played the original two in Korea, then they had hardly any days off the first few months of the season. So all year long, the Padres had played more than their opponents. Now everybody's finally caught up to them. But 40 games left and a two-game difference. Diamondbacks have won six in a row. They'll take that winning streak into Tampa Bay tonight against the Rays. Dodgers will take on the slumping Cardinals in St. Louis tonight. Tony's not here, so with Tony not here, Adam, you and I can play some scoreboard. Because I love playing scoreboard. I don't care if it's August. I just like looking at results of other games and how it impacts things. And, you know, I think it's fun to be in the middle of all of it. So, you know, we will play a little scoreboard throughout the evening. The one thing that the Padres have right now is a cushion in terms of getting into the wild card. They are 6.5 games clear of the Mets, who are the team that would have to catch and pass them. Of course, the Braves would also have to catch and pass them to keep the Padres from the postseason. But a 6.5 game opening at the moment. Of course, the Mets do come in here next weekend for four games. So no time to relax as the Padres get set to go into Colorado tonight. The Rockies, by the way, do have the worst record in the National League. If it wasn't for the White Sox, they might have the worst record in baseball. You know how bad the White Sox are just for fun, Adam? I'll tell you how bad they are. The White Sox in the standings right now are 15 games behind the Rockies. So they're not only the worst team in baseball, they are by a large margin.
I heard a stat a few weeks ago when they're in the midst of their 21-game losing streak.
Right.
They not only had a 21-game losing streak, they also had a 14-game losing streak early in the year. The stat was if you removed the 14-game losing streak and the 21-game losing streak from their record, they'd still have the worst winning percentage in Major League Baseball this year.
It is incredible that a team could be that bad in this day and age of baseball. But they are, and they're closing in on their 100th loss. They're only 7 losses away from that at this point. All right, let us get into some scoreboards, some winners, losers, Daily Gambit, we call it.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Daily Gambit. Gamble responsibly out there. We don't actually bet any money on this stuff. And we recommend that you don't bet a whole lot of money on this stuff either. But it's fun to pick the games. The Cubs won today. It's the only day baseball. They beat Toronto 6-5. Cubs blew a 3-run lead in the 9th. Then won it on a Suzuki walk-off single in the bottom of the 10th. Cubs are trying to hang around in the wild card race, but they're 9.5 back of the Padres still. All right, some of the picks we made last night. Zach Wheeler was on the mound for the Phillies last night. His over-under was 7.5 strikeouts. I went under. And Zach Wheeler had 6 strikeouts, so I got that one. Phillies won the game largely in part because of a guy named Weston Wilson. I might be the only guy west of Philadelphia who even knows who that is, because he's like the last guy on my fantasy roster. But he hit for the cycle last night in just his 24th Major League game. He's like one of the fastest guys ever to do it. So that was kind of an exciting moment for the Phillies. They have won 2 in a row after struggling. Another one last night was pitcher Bailey Ober of the Minnesota Twins, 6'9" right-hander for the Twins. They'll be coming into town next week. His over-under was 5 2/3 innings pitched against Texas. I went over, and he pitched 6 innings last night, so I snuck out a win there. On to the WNBA, the New York Liberty, who have the best record in the entire league, they're 22-4, came into Los Angeles last night and destroyed the LA Sparks. 35-point rout for the Liberty. They were favored by 11.5. I took the Sparks at home. Lost that one. In that game, Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu of the Liberty, both had a point over and under of 20.5, so we asked which player would score more. I went with Brianna Stewart, and she did outscore Ionescu last night, so I won that one. And Angel Reese, 13.5 rebounds in the Chicago-Phoenix game last night. Phoenix won the game, but Angel Reese grabbed 15 rebounds. I went over. She went over, so it was a pretty good night for me last night. Adam, do you want to get in on any of these tonight, or do you just want me to do them? You want to have some fun and see how well you do?
If you'd like. I'm not a big gambler.
Well, I'm not either.
But I'm happy to weigh in.
All right. Padres and Rockies tonight. Over-under is 11.5 runs.
Combined,
yes. No, just for the Padres. 11.5 runs. Obviously, Coors Field, you can have easily a 12-run game.
Right.
But I just see Matt Waldron. Man, he's already pitched at Coors Field this year and pitched well. So unless the Padres are going to win 12-0, I think this is going to go under tonight. Do you want to take a guess?
I'll go contrarian. I'll go with the over.
You can take the over. All right. Dodgers are in St. Louis tonight. Dodgers are favored by 1.5 runs. Got to go with the Cardinals here. Like I said, we're playing scoreboard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
While the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yes. No Tony Gwynn, so we can root against the Dodgers tonight.
Absolutely.
Not that he ever roots for the Dodgers, but he's not a fan of scoreboard watching, at least not until late September. I am a fan. Also tonight, the Pittsburgh Pirates try to snap their 10-game losing streak.
Boy.
Yeah.
They were in it.
It got away from them fast. They can thank the Padres for that.
Padres crushing the hopes and dreams of the Pirates and the Nationals this year.
The Jolly Roger has sunk. Pirates are home tonight. The Seattle Mariners are their opponent. The Mariners are favored by 1.5 runs. I would like to believe the Pirates could snap their streak, but Logan Gilbert is pitching tonight for Seattle, and he's one of the best in the league. So I'll take Seattle. All right, this is for you, Adam. Preseason football tomorrow. Do you even know who your Falcons are playing tomorrow?
I do not.
Really? See, it's true.
It's not a real game.
No, it's not. It's the biggest farce in all of sports. There will be people all over the country tomorrow paying full prices to go see these games that mean nothing. Baltimore is your opponent tomorrow. Ravens are favored by 1. just for you, I'll take the Falcons.
Let me just say this. I know you said we're not encouraging people to gamble.
Yeah.
If you gamble on exhibition football.
Oh, I've said this before, yeah.
You've got real issues.
I've told people before, straight up, if you bet on an exhibition game, check yourself right into gambling rehab. You have a problem. If you need to have action on a preseason game, then you have an issue. You should not
just go flip a coin and bet on that. I mean,
same thing.
Literally nothing to know about these games.
Dolphins get the Washington Commanders tomorrow, 4.5 points. The Dolphins are favored. I'm not trying to pick against my team, but I see no reason to ever give points in a preseason game. It's a 50-50 game.
So
I'll take Washington.
I think that's actually the smartest betting theory I may have ever heard.
For a preseason game?
No, anywhere. Take the points in games that don't matter.
In a game that doesn't matter, you might as well get a few points. 49ers are favored by 1 over the Saints. I'll take the Saints just so I can stick it to Scraby when I see him on Monday. One more tonight. Caitlin Clark returns to the floor for the Indiana Fever. Her over-under is 19.5 points. She takes on the Phoenix Mercury. I must find this to be kind of an interesting matchup. Remember, Diana Taurasi of Phoenix was the one who was a little outspoken about Caitlin Clark not coming in and dominating the league right away. I think that's largely been forgotten, but I doubt that Caitlin Clark has forgotten it.
No.
Taurasi said, everybody ought to, take it down a peg or two on these kids coming into our league. I still think Taurasi was kind of wrong to say that. I get what she was, where she was coming from, but these kids, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and the others, have made it for a great WNBA season, and Diana Taurasi should be, honestly, I think, appreciative of that.
So let's take the over on Caitlin.
So I'll say over. Yeah, Caitlin Clark sticks it to Diana Taurasi tonight. All right. We'll have some fun with those. Results on Monday. All right, I promised you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Def Leppard and to see Journey. They're playing at Petco Park on August 30th. So that is 2 weeks from today. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. Or you can win a pair right now. You have to call in and answer a trivia question. That's what I like to do. So wait till I give the question and then dial in 833-288-0973. First person with the correct answer. According to Billboard Magazine, I did a little research. Billboard Magazine has rated all of the songs ever put out by Def Leppard. What does Billboard Magazine rank as Def Leppard's greatest song?
Is this a trick question?
No. I mean, if you know anything about Def Leppard, you've heard of this song. Just a matter of whether you pick the right one. They have quite a few big hits. You got to pick the one that Billboard Magazine chose as the greatest song ever by Def Leppard. You come up with that at 833-288-0973, you'll go to the concert while we check traffic. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. That little question created a stir, did it not, Adam Klug? A lot of people calling in to try to get the answer and win those Def Leppard and Journey tickets. Don't shoot the messenger here. I just looked this up. It's a story by Billboard Magazine. Says the 15 best Def Leppard songs of all time. So that's what I went with here. And with all due respect to Hans, who sent me an email, Switch 625, which I don't even know, was ranked 13th, Hans, so it didn't get close. But here's some of the other ones. Def Leppard's had a lot of pretty good songs. The one everybody was really excited about on the guessing and on the chat was Pour Some Sugar on Me. That came in third, according to Billboard. Photograph was number two.
But the, inside, walk this way.
This was the number one song. Yeah. There it is, the number one Def Leppard song according to Billboard magazine. Very good, Adam. It's better to burn out. There you go. All right, Benoit called in. He was the one who identified the song Rock of Ages as their best song. There you go. Like I said, you may disagree. I might disagree, but the question was, who did Billboard magazine choose? They chose Rock of Ages. Benoit's going to see Def Leppard and Journey in concert. Enjoy out there. And you can stop calling now, by the way. Phone lines are still going crazy. Sorry we couldn't give tickets to everybody. Our old friend John Heyman had an interesting article today in the New York Post. And, Adam, maybe you even know, like, John Heyman used to come on every week, and then that just ended. Whoever he was working with stopped employing John Heyman. What happened there? It doesn't matter too much.
Yeah, but I talked to Scraby. I think he's still an Odyssey MLB insider.
Scraby just doesn't get John on anymore then. So we're blaming Scraby for this.
Of course we are. He's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, that's right. It's an easy target. John Heyman reporting today in the New York Post, and I think this is, you know, the kind of news we want to hear right now, that Yu Darvish is indeed working out, and the hope is that Darvish can return to the Padres in September. One person close to Darvish guessed a return this year is 50-50. Another thought, Darvish's return chances are a little better than that. Obviously, he's out, undisclosed, family matter. We haven't really delved into that because it's really not important. You know, Yu Darvish needs to take care of what he has to take care of. But if he can come back and pitch for the Padres in September, what a boost that would be. Of course, you're still waiting on Fernando to come back, et cetera, et cetera. One more note from John Heyman that I think Padres fans will enjoy hearing. Blake Snell could be back in the mix for the Padres once he's done pitching out this season in San Francisco. Says Heyman, Snell is almost sure to decline his $30 million player option. And Snell is of interest to the Padres. Now, according to Heyman, the Padres, along with the Dodgers and some other teams, even inquired about Snell before the deadline this year. But the Giants hung on to Snell. They were much closer to the wild card at that point. Snell has been absolutely, once again, unhittable. This guy, along with being one of our favorite guys, he's just fun to have on the show. He's fun to have in San Diego. Got a great attitude. He's actually just kind of hilarious. I know that Tony really got along well with Blake. And we had some good interviews with him last year. But beyond that, Blake Snell is one of the darndest pitchers I think I've almost ever seen. I mean, I can't think of every pitcher in the history of baseball, but you look at Blake Snell just this year for fun. Just look at it this year. Four innings, seven runs. Four innings, nine hits, five runs. Those are in April. Then in May, three innings, four runs. Four innings, four runs. Then he only made one start in June. Five innings, three runs. None of those were really, really good. Until he came back on July 9th. And then all of a sudden, five innings, one hit, no runs. Seven innings, one hit, no runs. Six innings, two runs. Six innings, two hits, no runs. Nine innings, no hitter. And last time out, six and a third, two hits, 11 Ks. He has given up two runs since he's come back, you know, supposedly healthy with the Giants. And that's in seven starts. He's given up two runs in seven starts. He's given up 12 hits. The only guy with numbers like that recently is Dylan Cease. Blake Snell is just a I can't 100% figure it out. The guy's got two Cy Young Awards now, one in each league. And when he's on, he is the best pitcher in baseball. There's no argument. But there's early in the season, whatever it is. We saw it here in San Diego. Blake, you know, not throwing strikes, falling behind in the count. But man, when he's on, forget it.
Second half Snell.
Second half. I mean, if he came to the Padres again next year, and you were guaranteed that he'd be 2-6 with an ERA of 7 at the All-Star break, but after that he'd go 10-1 with an ERA of 1.22, you'd say, okay, we'll take it. Because he's, you know, he's pitching lights out when it, you know, matters the most. There honestly can't be any hitter in baseball who finds it comfortable to face Blake Snell. It's not like Blake doesn't know where the ball is going, but he has so much movement. They call it stuff. But, you know, he just has so much movement on the ball that it's almost impossible for the hitter to know where it's going. That's why you can't get, you know, the meat of the bat on it at all. You can't get a hit.
I did find it quite interesting that after unloading Jorge Soler, which felt like just a straight salary dump
right.
for the Giants, I found it interesting that they didn't trade Blake Snell at the deadline, given that, as John Heyman reported, it's assumed
teams
around the league.
Teams wanted him, yeah.
Well, not only the teams wanted him, it's assumed that he's going to opt out.
Right. You know what?
The Giants are a 500 team right now.
They are. They won last night to get back to 500. They're currently, what is it, 8 games behind the Padres now? Yeah.
8 behind the Padres, 10 behind the Dodgers.
Yeah, they're really nowhere near it. Snell, like certain guys just don't fit in certain places. I'm going back too far. Don't play the song. But Reggie Jackson once spent a year in Baltimore. Like, what? It just doesn't sound right. You know, he was an A, he was an Angel, he was a Yankee. He just never should have been in Baltimore.
I mean, if you remember, my guy John Smoltz spent time with the Red Sox and the Cardinals towards the end of his career.
Right. At the end of the career, it's slightly different because you'll see guys on with a team for a, you know, at the very end. And, you know, Pujols played for a bunch of different teams. But, I mean, in the middle of your career, which I think Snell is in, the Giants just has not been the fit. It just hasn't worked. I don't think he's gotten along with them. I don't think they've gotten along with him. But what he's done, you know, the second half of the season has put his head down and said, you know what, if I pitch great, I'm going to make another $30 million somewhere else next year and I'll feel a lot better.
Do you think that that's ultimately how we'll look back on Juan Soto's career? He had the long stint with the Nationals.
Yes, I think
he spent
Padres,
a year and a half here with the Padres.
Yeah, that's
and
the one.
Spend the rest of his year career with the Yankees.
I think it's a good example. I don't think Soto was a proper fit for the Padres. Yeah, I'm not going to say it was a mistake to go out and get him. I mean, so many things have happened, you know, guys traded away, guys acquired. But I think you're right. Yeah, I think when you look back, Soto's probably going to be at the Yankees for the rest of his career. I mean, he's just born for that stage, you know, Broadway, New York, the whole thing. Yeah, so you're right. San Diego is the one that kind of is the outlier. All right, Blake Snell, Padres have interest. We always have interest in that. Big Five is coming up next. We're an hour away from the Padres pregame. You don't want to miss it today because I'm filling in on 97.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 3:37 the time, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Denver. He's getting ready for the broadcast tonight. He and Jesse Agler will have it. Padres, Rockies, game one, 3-game series. Adam Klug in for Scraby, who will return on Monday. Brad from Escondido on the phone line here, jumping in. Hi, Brad.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're good. What's up?
Hey, Hey, remember on Blake Snell, though, like, dude sat out till the very last minute. He, I think Boros was his agent, did the same thing to Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah.
So I think Blake may have been pressing it a bit, trying to get back into shape. I'd take him in a heartbeat. I think for you guys, he's the best interview you could ever have.
Yeah, he is good.
Without a doubt. And as regarding Soto, I am so glad he's gone. I'll take a rise any day over Soto. Any day.
You're not the – I'm not the only one either. Thanks, Brad. You know, I'm not – I never was a Soto guy. He just isn't my type of – not my type of player. Not my favorite. Can he, you know, do all the things that a great baseball player can do? Yeah. But, you know, just never a fan of Soto. But I'm not the only one. I don't think you're the only one, Brad. But a lot of people, you know, say to me – and I don't know if any have said this to you, Adam. But people have said – I think it was addition by subtraction to lose Soto, despite everything that he has put up for the Yankees. Now, there's a lot of people who think, no, you can't. How can you possibly say that? The guy's got 35 home runs. He's got 100 RBIs. He's got 100 runs scored. He's the second or third in the MVP balloting. The Padres would be way better if they had Soto. Well, they also wouldn't have the right payroll. They also wouldn't have... And we can list all the guys, Cease and King and Higashioka and Vasquez and everybody else. But I don't know. Maybe Soto clashed in that clubhouse. I don't really know. I don't have access. But it does seem like there's a little better vibe this year. And not just saying that because they're hot now. I think there's been a better vibe all year.
I don't know that I would say addition by subtraction. I would just use different wording, different semantics, and say the Padres are better off in the position they're in with the depth of pitching that they obtained in exchange for Juan Soto.
Right. But I think
and the payroll flexibility.
The payroll flexibility they had to do. So that's, you know, that takes a lot of the argument out of it. But my thinking is a lot of people are saying this because they perceived that it wasn't a great clubhouse last year. That's people from the outside looking in who don't know, but just having their own perception. We all have perceptions. My perception is that it's without Juan Soto for whatever reason, because Juan Soto is certainly not a bad guy. Juan Soto certainly didn't create any disturbances that I know of, but I don't know that it was a perfect fit. I just don't. All right, thanks, Brad. We got to check some traffic, and then Adam Klug is prepared for us a big five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Adam's going to take us through the Big Five. I have to remind everybody that if you love Mediterranean food like I do, Spiro's, that's the place. Authentic Mediterranean cuisine, Coronado, La Jolla, also at Petco Park for dining or takeout options, catering, visit spiroscuisine.com. Are you going to start with number five today or...
Number five.
You could start with number three and just kind of, you know, go a haphazard big five.
Without you reminding me, I was already ready to hit five and you comment
were.
On if you like that I started with the right number.
You were
today.
Good. You were good today. Very good, Adam Klug.
Number five.
All right, number five it is.
Just for good measure.
Yes.
The NL Central leading Brewers received some tough news yesterday when all-star outfielder Christian Yelich announced he'd be undergoing season-ending surgery on his back. After initially opting for rest rather than surgery, the Brewers currently have a 9-game division lead, and Yelich has not even played since July 23rd. Assuming the Brewers hold on to make the playoffs, Chris, how scary would they be to an opposing team without Yelich on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the scariest?
I think the Brewers are about a 3. They don't really concern anybody. They just keep winning games. So, you know, Yelich was a big... part of that.
He was leading the National League in batting average and on base percentage.
Yes, he's a .315. His average is even better than Arise's, but Yelich doesn't have a number of bats needed anymore. You know, he's a former MVP player, so that's a big deal. The Brewers, I think, need him to compete with the likes of the Phillies, Dodgers, Padres, et cetera, in the playoffs. So I think, you know, Yelich being out is a big thing. This is the kind of thing that I wonder about, and I'm not that close to the Yelich and the Brewers and the whole situation, but could he have fought through this at risk to his long-term health? And I say that because I think in this day and age, players are more likely to take care of themselves than they are the team. And I think there was a year and a day way back when that people would have just fought through anything to play and worried about it later.
I have no idea.
I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong, because Yelich makes so much money, and I think the money is the big thing.
He's got the long-term deal.
Yeah.
It's a different situation. I have no idea what you're talking about, Josh Hader.
Okay. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Number four.
The college football playoff has announced a significant change to how they determine this year's participants. Not only will the sport be expanding to 12 teams, but now the selection committee will not use conference championships as one of its tiebreakers, now that the five highest ranked conference champions will earn automatic bids. What do you think of this rule change?
Explain to me what's going to happen now. Georgia goes 13-1. But loses the SEC championship to Missouri.
Well,
Georgia's clearly the higher-ranked team, but Missouri's the SEC champ.
Well, I actually...
They could choose Georgia even though Missouri won. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I guess that's a better question, because I know there is an SEC championship game.
I know there is.
So is the winner of that game not the SEC champion?
That's the way I read it.
Look, in college basketball, you've got the regular season champ and the conference tournament champ.
Yeah, this playoff is going to create more issues than people think. Everybody who thinks that now that we have a 12-team playoff, there'll be no controversy is delusional. There's going to be so many controversies just in the SEC alone, because there's going to be four or five teams that think they should get in, and they're not all going to get in. But my point is, if you're going to have an SEC football championship game, why have it if the winner doesn't get to go to the playoff?
Well, the winner will. They're wording it. So here's what I read. The five highest ranked conference champions get automatic bids, and that's just an absolute. So they figured by making it as a tiebreaker, that was double counting it. They don't need to have conference champions as a tiebreaker if they're already guaranteeing the five highest conference champs an automatic bid.
Yeah.
And yes, the winner of the SEC championship game would be the SEC champ, but let's just say if Mississippi State beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, that doesn't mean that Mississippi State would be one of the five highest ranked, depending on where, you know, the group of five champion is. So yeah, that's the point.
My point is, if the Aztecs win the Mountain West,
right,
and they're the highest ranked of all of the other conference champions outside the Fab Four, are they automatically in the tournament?
Yes,
they are.
The five highest ranked conference champions automatically make it in.
So
and that's why they don't need conference championships as a tiebreaker.
Oh, so you're telling me the Aztecs could go perfect? They're not going to. But the Aztecs could go 12-0, blow out all of their opponents, lose to Boise State in the Mountain West title
and then
game.
They're not a conference champion. They can still make it in, just not with an automatic bid.
Well, they're never going to get an at-large. Okay. As long as the Aztecs still have a chance, I'm not going to worry about the rest of it, but I'm telling everybody that in come December or November, there's going to be complaining from all over the country from teams that don't make the Final 12. It's going to be loud. You thought Florida State whining last year was something? Wait till what happens this year.
Bring it on.
Everybody wants in. Everybody's going to want in.
The Patriots lost to the Eagles 14-13 last night in a game I hope nobody gambled on. Patriots rookie quarterback Drake May, who was selected with the third overall pick in the draft, played more snaps than any other quarterback for the Patriots. May went 6-for-11 for 47 yards, along with 15 rushing yards, including a 4-yard rushing touchdown.
Whoa, I saw that 4-yard rushing touchdown. I could have walked that one in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Earlier today, new head coach Gerard Mayo said that the quarterback competition isn't over yet.
Mike?
This question is an in-general question, Chris, not Patriot-specific with Drake May. Are you in favor of highly drafted rookie quarterbacks playing right away or sitting and learning?
Well, this was an easy question 4 years ago or even 2 years ago.
We're not going to jump in a time machine and ask the question.
I know, we're asking it now. So it's a really tough question now. Because all of a sudden, now kids are coming into the pros. C.J. Stroud last year, others. Take Brock Purdy. The guys are not resting and having great success right away. And I look at Jordan Love. He's now the outlier because he sat out a few years before he got the opportunity.
As did Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that's going way back.
And Patrick Mahomes sat out for a year.
Yeah. I think it's great to sit out if you have the right person to learn from. And I think Jordan Love had the right person to learn from because he was under Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it would be helpful to Drake May to sit out. Who's he going to watch? Jacoby Brissett?
Yep.
He might as well just play. You know, so I think a lot of it has to do with who's going to be playing instead of you.
Are you saying that context matters?
Context matters. Yes, I am.
Number two.
Ex-Michigan assistant Connor Stallions will be roaming the sidelines again very soon. See what I did there?
Very good. Roaming, yeah.
Good. And sidelines. Remember?
He got it all.
He was at the center of Michigan's sign-stealing scandal last
year. He was the guy that they had a picture of in a Central Michigan hat.
That's right.
Standing on the Central Michigan sideline, stealing stuff. Something that Jim Harbaugh will probably go to his grave denying.
He had no idea about.
Exactly.
Stallions has been hired as the defensive coordinator at Mumford High School in Detroit.
Oh.
Do you have any issues with Mumford High School hiring Connor Stallions?
The only thing I've ever heard from Mumford High School in Detroit. I don't even have anything to do with the high school. But if you watch Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy in the early part of the movie is wearing a Mumford sweatshirt. I don't know why I just thought of that. And here comes some Beverly Hills Cop music even.
There you go.
My goodness, you're all of it. I guess in a perfect world, I'd like to see the guy have to pay the price for cheating forever and ever and ever. But, you know. Give him a second
chance.
Meaning
he should be expelled.
Yes, just don't ever let him work again. I'm tired of cheaters prospering somewhere else, but I got to give him a second opportunity. Hopefully he learned his lesson and he can do some good with these kids.
Number one.
I'm softening in my old age.
Apparently so, Chris. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed in that response.
I hear you.
This one's more up your alley.
I'm disappointed to give it.
Much has been made about Jason Tatum's reduced role during the Olympics, but the Celtics star said yesterday that his role in these Olympic Games will not impact his decision of whether or not to play in future Olympic Games. What percent chance do you give Jason Tatum of suiting up in the 2028 Olympics?
I would say pretty high. I got to think that Jason Tatum is really, I said it during, you know, while the Olympics were going on. I think this is really something that Jason Tatum's got to be affected by. He can say whatever he wants, but when you're the highest paid, best player on the world champion team, and you can't even get off the bench, you got to wonder and look in the mirror even and say, what happened here? Where have I gone wrong? And I think anybody with the skill of a Jason Tatum wants to be recognized as the greatest ever, or one of the greats. Well, you know what the argument's going to be right now. Yeah, sure, Jason Tatum's great, but he couldn't even play on the Olympic team. What's that say about this guy? I'm going to think that Jason Tatum wants to get back to the Olympics and wants to play and dominate so that he can, you know, quiet down his critics, of which I'm one, by the way.
Give me a number.
In terms of what, percentage?
Percentage chance.
90.
90.
Yeah, he'd have to get hurt, but he's young. I think he's playing. He'll play, and he'll play a lot next time. He'll probably work it out so that his own Celtic guy coaches the team, whoever's coaching the Celtics. I mean, whatever he's got to do to make sure that Steve Kerr's nowhere nearby. But you know what? Steve Kerr understands the game of basketball pretty good. And Steve Kerr, although he said all the right things, it didn't fit, it wasn't the right combination. Steve Kerr understands Jason Tatum doesn't guard anybody, doesn't set any screens. You know, doesn't do the little things. Steve Kerr knows that those things win. Tatum would respond by saying, I just won the NBA title. But basketball is a more of a me-first game than Steve Kerr was willing to play in the Olympics this year, I think. That's why Jason Tatum didn't win.
Five today on 97.3 The Fan.
Never heard that before. Maybe I have, like, a long time ago. The actual ending of the Big Five.
Do you have, who would you pick to replace Kerr in the next Olympics?
As the next coach?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I think it's going to, you know.
There's a favorite out there, I can tell you.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Eric Spoelstra.
Well, he was the assistant this year. Spoelstra's one of the most underrated coaches out there. It could be, but that wouldn't help Jason Tatum get playing time. Spoelstra's a team player. Spoelstra gets more out of a team than just about any coach. I mean, Miami is so under-talented, and yet he always has them right there. I think he's a great coach. That's a good call. You know, Joe Mazzulla, Boston, I give him a lot of credit for figuring out what wins in this day's NBA. But I don't think he ever called a play the whole year. I really don't. Even Tony defended me yesterday and said that Kobe Bryant called it accidental basketball back when he was finishing up his, you know, career, with the notion being that really there are no plays called anymore. Guys just drive in, and whoever happens to pop open because of the help defense is who gets the ball. It's almost by accident. You don't really call a play. All right. It's enough of my NBA harangue, because I don't think people care that much about Jason Tatum around here. Chris versus the fans, we care about that. That's coming up next. 833-288-0973. Play trivia. You could be on your way to Vegas. Could get to see Carrie Underwood. All coming up later on. Padre baseball and the Rockies. Keep it here on 97.3 The Fan.